Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome in, fight fans, here on a Monday edition of Unlocking the Cage. I am Ryan McKinnell in for Jimmy Smith. And on today's edition of Unlocking the Cage, we have, well, our wonderful co-host, the returning one and only Cupcake Misha Tate. And I catch up with Misha to see how she's doing since her last fight at UFC Long Island. And we discuss the path forward for two of UFC London's biggest winners and fan favorites, Patty Pimblett and Molly McCann. Speaking of living the life, we haven't heard from you in a couple weeks. Now, I know that your last fight didn't go your way, but we've been talking, we've been communicating via text and chatting it up a little bit. You seem to be taking the loss very well in stride, and you seem to be remaining pretty positive.
Yeah, you know what it is? I just think I have the best things in life. So at the end of the day, win, lose, draw, I still have a great life. So I guess that's what brings me peace. But yeah, I can't say that I'm like happy about the performance or whatever. I think I need to find a way to harness myself a little bit different mentally. And mm-hmm. I think that I'm not giving up on that yet. I just felt flat in the fight. You know, like I was having fun. I enjoyed it. I don't have any like it was fun. I really enjoyed the fight, but it's like I didn't bring like the ultra competitive version of Misha Tate. And I know that it's in there, but I don't know if it was like the prolonged fight camp, you know, because you think I've been in it since like January, and then I went on Big Brother, mm-hmm. and that was really exhausting in itself. And then, you know, then we had the long, and then it got, then I felt like I got iced at the end. You know, like I was so ready for July 2nd. I mean, I was pissed. I was like trying everything. I even was like, I don't care. I'll fight at 135. Call up Holly Holm. Like I am fighting July 2nd. I was so adamant again on it. And then I was just really bummed. And obviously there's a lot more work, you know, having to pack up kids and like pack up everything and bring them all the way to New York. But I mean, I can't really blame it on any of that. It's just those are things that were kind of culmination of, I don't know. I just felt like not the most competitive version of myself. And that's frustrating. That's a bummer because I did work really hard. And of course, you want to get that win at the end. So I think maybe like I might want to look into seeing like a sports psychologist. I'm just in a different point in my life. And why not? You know, like we spend so much time training our bodies. And one thing I've learned is the mind is so powerful. I felt so great and very relaxed. And I kissed my kids before I went in the octagon. And I think that was kind of just like, I've got everything that I need. And like, that wasn't the right mentality that I needed to be in. I think I need like to be deprived of my children for a few weeks before the fight. Like, I think I need to be like in like that, like, oh, like kind of just like, oh, I'm going to like go fuck this person up. You know what I mean?
That's what Rocky did in Rocky IV, right? He went over to Russia.
That's what
he
I'm
left
saying.
Adrian behind. He locked himself in a barn and was like lifting wood and shit. Yeah, I maybe you know what?
And you like, I don't think that's a joke. Like I think that's a real thing. It's like when you got it made, like I'm in a very great point in my life. Not like chapter 1. Yeah. Chapter 1 it was kind of toxic and I was in a lot of turmoil and it was like that was my outlet and it was also my identity. That's none of those things for me anymore. So as I continue to evolve and life is great. It's very cush. I live a wonderful life. I have everything that I need. I don't need to fight. I just want to. And I want to do better than I did this time. So I'm not going to give up on it, but this is a whole new challenge. Like I just need to get my mindset a little bit more gritty, a little bit more grind, a little bit more like got to have it, you know? Not just there to have fun. Like I gotta have it. And I just don't feel like I hit the nail on the head with that this time.
Yeah, my life is also very cush, but different kind of cush. And we'll just leave it at that. Misha, you talked about it. I know you're not making excuses. I know you're like we talked about. Like, we actually talked via text chain. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. And we both agreed, like, you lost. I think what you're trying to do is just figure out why the performance wasn't there. Now, sports psychologist, time, all that stuff, I think it's all a good idea. And I liked what you talked about, that the – and it, again, it might not be an answer. It might be an answer. It might be indicative of something that is there. I do not know. But it is interesting that only, you know, shit, when we talked, it was only like a couple of days after, and you kind of hinted, at the idea that, yo, that first, to your words, right, that first chapter was so much tumult, so much chaos, so much stuff going on that fighting was your outlet. That adjusting, you know, $500,000 at Big Brother, the layoff, a second run, Johnny, the kids, like everything in your life is different.
I've got it made.
Maybe finding that dog, right? Finding that
takes
a little bit more work.
It does, and I just assumed that it would be there, but I think as we change, you know, with, I mean, and not everybody fights for a living, but I think everybody's like had relationships or had a work atmosphere that you've had to kind of like reinvent a little bit to find a way to reinvigorate it, to keep it fresh, to keep it interesting, to keep it. And it's always changing. It's never the same situation that it was yesterday, much less years and years ago. So I just think I'm at a point where I'm so happy and so content that it just kind of like translated into the fight. But I don't want that. And I definitely think that I can overcome that because you know what I mean? Like, I definitely think, because I'm telling you, if like you saw my trainings and you see again how I do against all the other women in the UFC, and including like a lot of the guys, like I have it. I'm very competitive. I need to channel though the dog in the fight, and that didn't happen at all this last time. Like I said, I had a great time. It was fun, but that's not enough. Like, I need to win. I need to, you know, I want more than that. So this is a whole new challenge. I've never had to really work on the mental side of it, because I've always kind of just like been tough and gritty. But here I am, like, in a totally different place where I'm not forced to channel that on a regular basis. And I think, oh, here's another thing too. Getting down to 125, all my trainings were very long format. That means 2+ hours. And a lot of times when I hit that dog in the training, we're an hour and a half in, and I've got nothing left because we're an hour and a half in, and I've got to just, you know, just like bring it from like non-existent places, like places I'm. So I think sometimes in 15 minutes goes by so fast that I'm not even beginning to hit my stride or my threshold. So I don't know too if I need to incorporate some short form trainings that's like, you've got to just do this in 15 minutes. Like, there's no other time. Like, it's now and never, you know, as opposed to like those long trainings where it's like you it takes me so long before I hit that bottom rung where I've got to dig deep. 15 minutes just flew by. It literally felt like somebody snapped their fingers. I'm like, oh shit, it's over again already? Like, you know, I almost wish we could have fought for 2 hours. It'd be like, okay, well then there we go. That would probably hit the dog somewhere in there.
that would have been in your wheelhouse.
But timing's everything, you know?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I guess the silver lining is you did have the team there, and you had our wonderful Kelly Murphy to stop by
with
the next
cupcakes.
Day and make things, I was just saying, to make things a little bit better. So, Kelly, thank you for bringing a smile to cupcake with cupcakes no more than 24 hours, because I know you were all over New York that week.
Oh yeah,
my gosh,
I had a
blast. That was the least I could do that weekend. I was like, Misha wants cupcakes. Yeah, you bet your ass I'm going to get exactly what this girl wants. Like,
I just like that she was still on the cupcake tip, right? Like, I mean, her eye was a little messed up. It's fine. It looks great today. We're like
Thank
a week
you.
Removed from it. But you do. But I'm just saying, that happened, right? You got your cupcakes and you went to the Yankees game. Like, you didn't let a loss stop you
Not
from enjoying all of our, well,
gosh.
One of my favorite cities, New York City.
Ryan, I got a life to live. Losses, they used to destroy me because it was everything that I had and did to exist for. But now it's like, I still got a life to live. I still got kids. I still got all these good things. And to that point, though, I do have to figure out, like, the pinpoint for 15 minutes. I need that dog to be right there at that time, and I cannot miss that mark, you know? So that's what I'm going to work on. It's a whole new different challenge, which, you know, I'm always up for a good challenge. So it's a different kind of challenge. Like, I've been focused on the physical this camp. Getting down to 125 was my main focus, and I think I need to focus more on my performance than anything.
I like it. I like it. And listen, that is not an uncommon theme for high level fighters, right? You stick around long enough, you mm-hmm. go through different iterations of your attitude, of your motivation, of yep. whatever, right? And you have to reconnect and find that dog. And it sounds like that's about right where you're at in your yeah. career. And so I'll leave it at this, and we'll get into UFC London when we come back. What's the next move? I know it's been a couple weeks. You've had a little bit of time to think about it. What I mean, you mentioned sports psychologist.
I think it's been
okay,
like one, right?
One week? Okay, one. Is it?
Yeah,
time's
one.
Flying.
One in a couple
I'm
days.
Not back in Vegas. So, yeah, I was going to say, everything is jumbling together. But nonetheless, I know it's been a little bit of time. You've had a little bit of time to think.
Yeah.
You've obviously thought. Like, how active do you want to stay? Like, when do you want your next fight to be? I'm not going to have you call out any opponent, but, like, what's the move here?
Yeah, I definitely need to take some time to figure it out. And this, yeah. like I said, was a really long camp. It got drawn out, you know, two times. I don't know if I'm going to stay at 125 or just go back to 135 where I can enjoy, you know, like I said, the diet. Oh, my God, Ryan, for that long made me want to blow my brains out. It was terrible.
I remember we went to the advanced screening of Top Gun Maverick, and I was like teasing you with the popcorn. You couldn't even have popcorn and,
nothing.
Drink. I felt terrible for you.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So terrible. You were just like rubbing it in over there. I know.
A little bit. I mean, that's what friends do.
That's what friends do. Exactly. We can go and eat now, so we should definitely take advantage of it. I'm looking to plump up a little bit. I did not enjoy being that skinny. I'm like, where's my butt? So it's back
speaking of your ass, made a joke. You posted it. You basically posted a photo yesterday of, you know, all the haters
on
can
Instagram,
kiss it.
Yep.
I was like, I'm going to recreate that photo before we go live on the air tomorrow. That was a lie. I'm not actually going to do that, but yes, your ass is returning in no time. So credit to Misha Tate's butt.
Thank you. And that's part yeah. two to Kelly, though, because of the cupcakes. You know, that's where it's all started. They go straight to my ass, which is great.
And
nobody's crying about that. So I'm just going to continue eating and being happy. You asked about the plan moving forward. I don't know. I think I might stay at 135.
Well,
I don't know, because I don't know. We'll see. I need just a little time to kind of like regroup and see like where I want to go from it. And as soon as I get like a good sports psychologist and start to like maybe unravel or figure out how to channel, I think I'll have more idea. Like, I don't know how long that takes. It might be something really quick. It might be a really simple fix. Like I said, the performance, my physical ability, the shape that I'm in, the way that I train, the skill set that I have, it's all there. I just need to time it and put it in the right place at the right time and in the fight. And so it might be a quick fix and it might take some time. I really have no idea.
I love that you're open about that, though, right? Because fighting is so alpha, and I still think, and you know, Patty Pimblett talked about it, the stigma of getting help, the stigma of talking out. Now, granted, in an entirely different sort of avenue, but the stigmatization of therapy, of psychologists, right? Like, it shouldn't be there. I mean, hell,
no.
If anything, we should have it built into our, I mean, listen, like, mental health should be built into our, like, healthcare. We should be able to go once a month and talk to someone.
100%
because
agree.
Misha, it doesn't matter how strong you are, physically, mentally,
no.
Everyone needs help. And I'm really glad
Absolutely.
You brought that up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like even the strong, you know, what you would consider the strongest people mentally. Like I get a lot of mm-hmm. people telling me like, oh, you know, you're so strong, you're so tough, you're so this. But I want people to know, too, that I have my challenges. You know, I do. You know, I have those ups and downs just like anybody else. And you've got to battle through it. And I missed the mark on this last fight. And I really want to try to troubleshoot that. And I don't have no shame in saying like, hey, maybe somebody can help me out in my mental mm-hmm. area. Maybe they can strengthen me. Because as I mentioned, I'm a firm believer that the body follows the mind. And when the mind is right and the mind is sharp, you're going to look good, feel good, do good. And that's the part I think I need to focus on.
I like it. I like it.
Busted Open is your daily home for all things pro wrestling. Join Dave LaGreca, WWE Hall of Famers Bully Ray and Mark Henry, and hardcore wrestling legend Tommy Dreamer.
Dave LaGreca here. From WWE to AEW, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and more, we talk it all. Whether you grew up watching Ric Flair or Stone Cold Steve Austin, Busted Open is your place for pro wrestling.
Busted Open, Mondays through Saturdays at 9 a.m. East on Fight Nation, Sirius XM Channel 156.
Patty Pimblett with the victory over Jordan. Yeah, right? Patty Pimblett with the victory over Jordan Leavitt on Saturday at UFC London. Now, the entire card didn't live up to that UFC in London, you know, that original one, which is fine. You know, you can't ask someone to or ask a group of fighters to live up to one of the craziest fight cards we've seen in recent memory. But I'll tell you what, Patty Pimblett got it done. Molly McCann got it done. There are certainly positives and takeaways from this. And, well, I'll tell you what, the Patty Pimblett, I mean, it's beyond an experiment at this point. He's got power in those hands. Jordan Leavitt, Misha, the man is, you know, no joke. He's a tough opponent. Patty keeps leveling up. He leveled up on Saturday. And I guess the question that I throw to you and the nation, Misha Tate, is Patty Pimblett making a believer out of you?
Well, a believer in what exactly? Because, I mean, yes, yeah. To answer the question preliminary, I mean, I like the guy. Like, he's funny. He does what he says he's going to do. He puts his money where his, you know, his mouth is. It's like, and he goes out and he performs. And I feel like him and Molly just have like this intangible, you know, they've got the it. They've got the it factor. So whether this guy ever becomes a world champion or not, I don't necessarily, because I mean, 155 pounds, that's a division that's... I mean, that's a nasty division. That is stacked. So do I necessarily, am I believing that this guy is like the future world champ? No, I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, but that's not what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. But what I'm thinking when I see Patty Pimblett fight is that he's a hell of an entertainer. He's better than average. That's for sure. He's better than most. And I think you're always going to enjoy watching him fight, you know, kind of like a cowboy Cerrone, you know, like an old school cowboy. It's just like, okay, so maybe he won't touch gold. Maybe he'll become a contender. Maybe, you know, it could happen, but you're always going to appreciate it. You're always going to want to tune in like a Nick Diaz, you know, he's kind of becoming, you know, Diaz brother, he's becoming his own brand. These two are becoming their own brand that's elevated above the sport and goes beyond just a single fight. But every time you see that their name on the card, it's going to stick out. And you're going to be like, I want to watch that fight card because of that person. That's great. Whether they ever become champions or not, they're going to be, they'll be people's champs, you know, always.
Well, and sometimes, right? Being that type of fighter, being a Nick Diaz, being a Donald Cerrone, right? Two guys never held UFC gold, made a shit ton of money. And
exactly.
They're still wildly popular to this day.
Exactly.
And I've talked about this. I've talked about this with yourself. I've talked about this with other fighters over the last 15 years. You know, if you're really honest with certain fighters, like, yes, the gold means everything. I know you are a former champion. I know how much that meant to you. You have a little bit of that both, though. You are a former champion and you're a pioneer and a stalwart, and you've got that same brand that, you know, you're on point like that, right? You're not a flash in the pan. You weren't here and gone. You've been here for a long time and you're sticking around, right? But there are some champions that were here for just a hot minute and now they're not here anymore. So that staying power, that longevity, to your point, Misha, that brand staying strong is arguably more valuable in the sport of mixed martial arts than it is in other sports. And Patty Pimblett, he's got that juice right now and he might have it for a very, very long time.
And that's what I'm a believer in right there. And I think that, you know, that's more important a lot of times because not everybody, I mean, how many people, I would love to know what the percentage is of people who ever fight in the UFC versus ever become world champions. It's got to be a microscopic like amount. You know what I mean? Like,
would it be
5%? You know what I mean? Of the
not
fighters
even.
That ever,
I mean,
yeah, ever so, touch UFC so, yeah, gold that I have mean, it, ever fought
yeah.
in the UFC.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking the roster is 600 people at some point. You know, the division's 9-10. I mean, there's a few divisions, a lot of people,
and that's always changing too. That 600 isn't always the same people. Like a lot of times they come
in,
they lose to, and they're gone.
Yeah.
A new person comes in.
Yeah. And the champions, to that point, aren't always changing, right? Like a lot of the time you'll get an Anderson Silva basically right into an Israel Adesanya or a John Jones, a little bit of DC Cormier or Daniel Cormier, a little stopover. There is, sometimes in certain divisions, Demetrius Johnson, you can go, Jose Aldo, you can go years without turnover in that division. So the idea of beating one of those goats is just damn near impossible. Now, I will say this about Patty Pimblett. The dude's got serious power. At that weight class, he carries legitimate power. My concern with Patty is he just gets...
Yo, this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Too much. Like, he's so wild and he's so ridiculous. Now, it didn't have much on Saturday, but historically, the dude can get touched up a little bit. But again, that's not the worst thing. Nick Diaz got touched. Donald Cerrone got touched, to your point, yeah. And they made a lot of money, and it makes for exciting fights. And that's the one thing you can say about Paddy Pimblett. So far, the dude doesn't have a boring fight.
Exactly. So I am a believer in the brand. You know, that's Paddy Pimblett. And also, I know we'll get into Molly, but I kind of see them as like a dynamic duo, and I think that brand will carry them for quite a long time. And, you know, they show up, they continue to perform like that. People are going to love them. People are going to be entertained by them. They might find themselves in title scenarios, and well, you know, it's up to them whether that actually becomes a reality or not. But who cares? I mean, we love watching them fight. So, do we need that to be the case? I mean, really, do we need Paddy Pimblett to be a champion to appreciate and enjoy him?
No.
Absolutely not.
Nope, he's not a champion. Absolutely he's not a champion not. Right now. And you heard that crowd in London. He got a bigger response for that crowd in London than a lot of champions. Kamaru Usman, no disrespect, right? Israel, take almost any champion and compare their walkout, you know, to what he got on Saturday in that reception. It was deafening. It was a jet engine. You don't get that shit often. You just don't.
Yeah, I agree. So I think they're going to do great things. They're going to continue to entertain us, and that's where my belief is in Paddy. I mean, I think the proof is in the pudding. Yep. He's great.
I want to throw to some audio here that we have of Paddy in regards to what he thought about his fight on Saturday, but more importantly, what his fighting future could look like. This is Paddy, the Paddy Pimblett, after Saturday night's victory.
Yeah, I know for a fact now I'll be fighting on pay-per-views with John Anik, Joe Rogan, and DC commentating.
Big Michael.
Yeah, Big Mike's the man. But I know I won't be fighting in the O2 again. It's too small. As I say, we will do Anfield. I promise you now. Dana said that he won't do Anfield, but he also said women will never fight in the UFC years ago when Ronda Rousey came along. He said he won't do a stadium in the UK, but the baddies came along, so we will.
All right, there you go, Patty Pimblett. You're referencing the baddies himself and Molly McCann. Listen, I don't know about Anfield, the stadium show over there across the pond. I'll say if McGregor never did it, I don't know if Patty's going to do it. He certainly has the juice. He certainly has the popularity. I mean, he's got the following. If you made tickets affordable enough, I could see it happening. But, Misha, I think there's a reason they haven't done it. I don't know what that reason is. And, yeah, maybe you pack them together with McGregor. I don't really know. But I do. I mean, that's a ballsy quote there from Patty Pimblett, right? The O2 is too small. That's not a small arena. It's the Bell of London. Like, it's one of the nicest arenas I've ever been to. Misha, but I do like his confidence. He can't say he lacks that.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's rare that you get this kind of energy and they're stars. Let's just put it that way. They are stars.
Oh, yeah.
And they're continuing to elevate the sport and rise. So I'm with it. I'm team Batty. I love what they're showing up to do. I think they're great. I'm not enough great things to say about him, except he eats too much in interviews. I'm not fat shaming, okay? I know he gets a little puffy between his things. That's all great. But, like, can you hang on to the pizza for a second so we can hear what you're saying? I mean, the accent's thick enough. I would like to,
point. Yeah, no, good rule of thumb. Good rule of thumb for all fighters out there and athletes that might be doing interviews.
Follow
on television
mom's old
or
rule.
The radio.
Don't talk with your mouth full.
Yeah, there you go. And especially when you have like a really nice professional microphone in front of your face that might pick up all the chomping.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, all that. You know, I've been there. I'm not going to name out any former middleweight champions that may or may have not done that in interviews with me that makes you want to jump across the table and put their face in their fucking food. But we'll leave that alone. Clearly, I have no opinions on that whatsoever. But speaking of opinions, Russo, Kelly, what did you make of, Patty's victory on Saturday? Is he making a belief? Are you two?
I was impressed, man. Like, Patty usually always has that one little moment where, like, maybe he gets clipped for a second but works back. He was in control from, like, start to finish. And I've told people, my Jordan Leavitt, maybe you might not know his name, but, like, he's no slouch. He's good everywhere. Like, a bunch of submission victories. I tried to bet on the upset. Got burned for it. Patty made sure that Russo made no money this weekend. But, yeah, he looked great, man. It's the 155-pound division, so... You are in a sea of murderers, and that's the problem. But I liked what I saw on Saturday.
What about those elbows? I mean, I really thought he made a great use of those as he was defending the takedown. I thought really utilized those and well placed and was very aggressive with them too. So I like that as a part of his defense strategy. Like, he executed it very well. It's a little harder to do than you think, because when you're not hand fighting, you're not controlling, you're not pushing on the head or something like that. You're only focused on damage. That person can if they get their hands locked, elevate you and you're going down. So you maybe got a couple in, but he really had a great long stance for it. He made it very difficult to be moved. Had good balance to be able to execute those downward elbow. I mean, those elbows, and I mean, it was nice. I really enjoyed seeing the technique there.
And what I liked about that is he also said, "Yo, I'm going to do that when Levitt shoots in on me. I'm going to elbow his freaking head into the floor," and that's exactly what he did. Kelly, what'd you make of that performance on Saturday by the baddie?
I was really impressed. Going into the weekend, I said, if Patty Pimblett can give a performance where there's not a near fight ending moment on his end, I would be very impressed because Jordan Leavitt is pretty dangerous, like Mike said, whether you know him or not. And then in the midst of hunting for a submission, I mean, he was just relentless. And then he had a pretty nasty knee that put him in the best spot to ultimately get the submission. And I was just really impressed. I thought he looked pretty dominant in round one. He was controlling the pace, controlling everything about the round for the most part. And then he got the win in round two, and he did exactly what I asked of him. Not that it matters what I want, but for my point of view, his third fight in the UFC, he did exactly what I thought he needed to do at that point.
Yeah, 100%.
Busted Open is your daily home for all things pro wrestling. Join Dave LaGreca, WWE Hall of Famers Bully Ray and Mark Henry, and hardcore wrestling legend Tommy Dreamer.
Dave LaGreca here. From WWE to AEW, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and more, we talk it all. Whether you grew up watching Ric Flair or Stone Cold Steve Austin, Busted Open is your place for pro wrestling.
Busted Open, Mondays through Saturdays at 9 a.m. East on Fight Nation, Sirius XM Channel 156.
After Saturday, Molly McCann getting another victory in authoritative fashion. You heard the call right there from the broadcast team. You heard the crowd at the O2. You saw Molly celebrating later in a Patty Pimblett wig and a bottle of Howler Head. This woman is for the people, Misha Tate. Like, seriously, honest to God, how do you not like this girl? Like, I mean, how? Like, is there anyone out there? Anyone? 877-344-4893? Is there anybody
if you don't like Molly McCann? Molly, if you don't like Molly, you have no soul. She's awesome.
It's true.
She is awesome. I got to meet her in person first, as I mentioned earlier, in Phoenix, and she was just a just like how you see her on TV. She's just a total ball of energy, just a real bright light in the room, and I love seeing her success. It makes me so happy to see her, and especially if you know a little bit of her backstory. If you haven't had a chance to listen to some of her interviews, like with Ariel Helwani or whatever, where they can kind of dig deep and like tell her story a little bit, she's just overcome a lot. She's overcome a lot of adversity, and I love seeing that. That person who wasn't, you know, by society standards supposed to be where she's at, and she's overcome so many obstacles, and she's a real star, and she's just a real personality, and she's also pretty fucking good at fighting. I mean, let's just throw that out there. I mean, you ever see lightning strike twice? Like, that's Meatball Molly. Yeah. Like, she's just incredible. And it's not even that it's not even like a skill set thing. It's an intangible thing. It's like she's just got it. She just has the special factor. And it's like sometimes it's the desire, the will to win, that hunger, that burning fire. It just burns bright in her, brighter than most.
And Misha, she's got natural power. You see it in her shoulders. You see it in her hips. You see it when she digs in. Yes, the spinning out back elbows have been great. But when she specifically on Saturday against Anna Goldie, when she followed up that elbow with those punches, like when she wings hooks, those are not normal hooks for that weight class. They're just not.
No, you know, and I'm really impressed with her timing too. I mean, the way that she rolls under a looping hook and she keeps her eye on the prize. I mean, it's just so incredible. Like her placement and her timing, those are what are making those punches that are already powerful, but it's where they're placed and when they're timed, when the person's not ready. It's the shot that you don't see coming. And she's always able to hit kind of on that half beat. And wow, I mean, it's devastating. It's devastating. And she's getting finishes at 125, like impeccable finishes with her hands. You know, it's just not something that's
brutal.
Also super common in the division.
Right. They're just not like that. I mean, you'll see finishes, but like digging in and just annihilating opponents, that's reserved for 145 in Cyborg Santos, right? Like, Cyborg Justino.
Exactly.
I'm still calling her Cyborg Santos, right? That's how far I go back with Cyborg. Apologies, Chris. Apologies. But no, I mean, that sort of violence, that sort of finishing power, it doesn't come along often, and it doesn't come along often at 125. So Molly's really kind of got that in her back pocket. As well as all the intangibles in terms of personality, sellability, bringing the light to the room, making yourself a character, making yourself a commodity. She's got all of that, and she's really hasn't been around here that long. Like her rise and her trajectory is incredibly impressive because, Misha, there are fighters that have been around for 10, 15 fights that haven't made the name that she's made. And she just, I mean, you got to give her credit.
I know. And I do. I give her all the credit in the world and all the praise. And I adore her. It's brings me so much happiness to see. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's like the mom in me, you know? Like, I just feel like I look at her and I'm just so happy. Like, if I was her mama, she's just got to be, her mom must be so proud. I mean, what an incredible young woman. What a great role model. I love everything that Molly brings to the table. So it's great to see her performing and hitting all the beats at the time, which she's supposed to. And how could you not love her? She's just a special energy. And then you combine her with Patty, and oddly, the energy just balances itself out. It's just, it's a beautiful thing to watch. She's rare. It's very rare in this sport that you get to see a dynamic duo like that.
Yeah, it is. That's a great point. Actually, that sort of brotherly, sisterly bond that these two have is, damn, man, like, you see it sometimes with, like, training partners or, like,
yeah,
people from the same gym, but the opposite sex,
or like
that.
Or, like, a coach and a, this, you know, this, like, a...
Yeah,
like, you
yeah.
see that sometimes, but, like, not really, like, two fighters that I can think that have, like, male-female that have the kind of energy and exuberance and the way that they're so captivating and funny and silly. And, you know, they have their ways of talking a little bit of shit, but it's not like cringy, you know? Like, I really enjoy the way that they mm-hmm. walk the line in all the areas that are entertaining. I just feel like they have a massive appeal. Like, if you like a little bit of trash talk or whatever, you might like the teabag that Patty Pimblett did, you know, or whatever. But to me, it was, like, funny enough. Like, it was lighthearted, you know? Like, nothing is too serious.
Even
so
Jordan
appeals to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, even Jordan Levitt kind of just nodded and was like, yeah, all right. Like, you said you were going to do it. You did it. You know, give him a hug. Good fight. You know what I mean? But that's also a sign of getting, you know, worked and having a guy that's just better than you beat you. And you got to give props where they're deserved. But, yeah, the relationship between Molly and Patty is certainly special and certainly something that we don't see often in terms of mixed martial arts friendships. I mean, sometimes you see it at the gym, right? You'll see, like, Rashad Evans and John Jones. Right. You know, they support each other until they don't, and then they fight, and then they're arch enemies, right? Like, it's like it kind of plays out like that. Like, don't be, you can be close to people in fighting, but you better be sure you're separated by like 50 pounds, or in this case, you know, at least be the opposite sex, so there's no chance that the UFC ever takes that friendship and then pits you against one another.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's rare, and it's really fun. It's a real treat, I think, for the fans to be able to sit back and watch these two not only fight, but entertain us otherwise. You know what I mean? Molly, the way that she jumps over the cage, have you seen the still shots of it? I mean, it's just like, she's like flipped upside down, jumping out of the cage.
I thought she was going to fall on her head.
Yeah, well, luckily she does that before she runs over to the bottle of Howlerhead whiskey and downs a few shots. So, but yes, so much energy, so much energy.
Could have had a vastly different outcome had she hit that Howlerhead before she went flipping over a, you know, 6 or 6.5 foot cage.
Yes,
or whatever the hell
we have to be thankful for that. But what I was thinking about this too, though, that, like, I think Molly's trajectory is a lot different than Patty's, just because the landscape of the division. She has two finishes now. Yeah. And I think, like, I honestly think that she could be one fight away from a title shot. I really think that her next fight could be a title elimination.
That's interesting. I mean, she's got the juice, and you're right. It's not what the 155-pound men's division, which is just, I mean, an absolute murderer's row. And that's no disrespect to 125. It's just a little bit more in flux. And that does pose an interesting question, right? Who has the cleaner trajectory, right? Like, who has the bigger ceiling, Molly McCann or Patty Pimblett? 877-344-4893-877-FIGHT-93. Let's see, as we think and we talk about what's next for both of these folks from the UK, right? And with respect to Patty and Molly, they both have a bright future. We can't disagree with that. They both coming off of victories on Saturday. The crowd was absolutely burning for both of them. Patty says he's outgrown the O2. Molly is slamming Howlerhead. It was a complete vibe on Saturday night. But Molly actually spoke, and I love this when fighters actually have an opponent lined up and an idea of what they want next. Well, Molly McCann, Meatball, she definitely had an idea of what she wants next for her career. And you know what? Again, credit to Molly. She named that opponent and called her shot at the post-fight presser on Saturday. Check it out. This is Meatball and what she wants next.
When you talk about legacy, prestige, honor, like, who's the best in the game? And it's Valentina. Am I Valentina ready yet? No. Lad. Come on. Am I Antonina ready? Let's see. I believe I am. I believe this isn't like a diss. This isn't like, I think I'm going to F you everywhere. No, it's not. But I genuinely think, like, this is an amazing fight to have. And I know, like, if they do one fight camp for me, if I ever make it to Shevchenko, they'll have the blueprint, but I'll also have the blueprint because I'll know how to beat a sister. So with the greatest respect, I've said her name because I think she's the best. So I would like you to tell her that I believe she is the best. That's why I'm trying to challenge her for that.
All right, there you go. Meatball saying, you know what, I'm probably not ready for Valentina yet, but I am ready for Antonina. And I kind of like that. It builds a nice natural story. If she takes on Antonina, you can keep pushing. You got the revenge factor. And again, Misha Tate, I'm just glad this woman had something lined up because there's nothing I hate more than a fighter saying, I just do what the UFC tells me. You don't want that shit. You don't want to do what the UFC tells you. Go out there and sell a fight because they're not going to sell for you until you reach a certain level. They'll promo you a little bit, but they need some direction. They like built-in stories and narratives. There you go. You did it. Congratulations. I know all fighters don't feel comfortable with it. Get that out of your head. Do you like money or not? Do you like branding or not? Do you like staying in the UFC or not? Have an opponent lined up. Salute to Meatball Molly. What do you think about the Antonina fight, though, Misha?
I love it. I think it's brilliant. I think it's, you know, because that's a way to get the champion's attention right away. You know, she's going to be their cage side. And if you beat her sister, you always got to think there's just a little bit of bad blood automatically. You beat her sister and you continue to climb those rankings and you get a chance to face, you know, Valentina, she's going to have that in the back of her mind. And it's a great storyline, as you mentioned, right? I think it's beautiful. Yes. You fight one of the Shevchenkos. If she gets a win there, I mean, it's a built-in storyline. Does, you know, big sister want to get a revenge? Like, yeah, I like it. I think that that's very smart. And this is what I'm talking about Molly. You know, she's not a stupid lady. Like, she's not a stupid woman. She is out there. She knows what she's doing. She's looking to ruffle a little bit of feathers. And I think that's a great fight for her. And I also I love her candidness, and I love her inability to say, like, hey, I'm probably not there yet, but I know what I am ready for, and it's a step in the right direction. And I wholeheartedly agree. It's a brilliant call out.
Yeah, and I would stay away from the Blanchfields and Araujos and Barbers of the division because, I mean, depending on how that shakes out, right, like, you could maybe save that for a contendership fight down, you know, maybe in 2023 or something like that, right? Like, Meatball Molly's got some juice. Let's be careful with that. It's kind of like Patty.
Yeah. So I think that's a good one. I can't think of a better name. I can't think of a better person. There's nobody else in the division that I would think, like, makes more sense than Antonina Shevchenko off the top of my head, to be honest.
Yep. I saw a note here from Russo. I missed this, Russo. There was someone else calling her out.
Who
is
that?
Yeah, Miranda Maverick is looking for that smoke from Molly Meatball McCann.
Okay. Well, now that's another up-and-comer. Again, I almost want to leave them aside because, I mean, I have no problems with contenders and future divisional potentially stalwarts fighting one another. I just think it just makes too much sense to, like, I would feed, if you're going to give Meatball a name, give her a veteran at some point. Don't give her the future quite yet because, I mean, all those names I just mentioned, those are the futures of that division.
Right. Yeah, I think.
So you got to be careful.
Yeah, I think I would rather see that fight down the road. I like the Shevchenko built-in storyline, but I'm a fan of Miranda Maverick too. She certainly is a great young up-and-comer for sure. But if the Shevchenko fight wasn't there, like, that fight's not, it's not a terrible fight. It's still a good idea. I think they're both on the similar path. So it could make sense as a good matchup, but I'm still hoping they can maybe do the Shevchenko one. I think that's better for now. That's what I want to see.
And again, I completely agree. It was damn near the perfect call out from Meatball. And whatever's next for her, we're gonna watch because that's what she's doing right now. She's making a name for herself. And I mean, look no further than I know she's 32. She's not exactly the youngest fighter, but she's still very much in her prime. She's got crazy snap, on her punches and her finishing ability. All that is a bit of a rarity in that division, right? But then she's got the juice. I mean, you know, Barstool Sports is sponsoring her. Like, she's running out of the cage and jumping into Dave Portnoy's arms. That might be, like, the one of the only times I've actually liked Dave Portnoy. I was like, good for you, Dave. You didn't get crushed. Like, I thought for sure when Meatball flew out of that cage and landed in his arms, he was taking a seat. Like, I was very impressed with Portnoy's ability to hold her up and, you know, I mean, that ain't easy catching a woman jumping off an octagon platform. I can't say I do the same. Molly might have flatlined my ass.
Well, you
dead serious.
I mean, you would have made a good landing, though, because you get, you know.
Thanks, Misha. Yeah, soft landing. Is that where you were going with that?
I would have, like, one of those, like, that, you know.
Yeah, when you got the stunt people jumping off a building and they hit the X. Are you saying, yeah, I would have been the X?
Oh, yeah, cool. Pretty much.
Cool.
I'm glad you got you.
Thanks, Cupcake.
You picked up exactly what I was putting down. Yeah, you understood.
Yeah.
You got the assignment.
Yeah, why? Well, I know you well, Misha Tate. I know you well. All right, good stuff there from Cupcake, even if it would come at my expense slightly a little bit.
Unlocking the Cage with Jimmy Smith is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The executive producer is Michael Russo. The associate producer is Kelly Murphy. Sound design by Nuri Balin. Special thanks to SiriusXM's Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.